Aerovision, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back, Full Tilt Arash, to the Eurovision podcast. You are so welcome back to really this final official episode going back over all of the Eurovision 2025 entries. I'm so excited. Connor is joining me. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. I'm really, really good. I have some bad news, though, to deliver to you. Unfortunately, I think this is going to be our last ever episode.
Yeah.
Because we have to go our separate ways now due to some personal news that's come in over the last few days. So, unfortunately... Yeah.
It's been a good time.
Yeah.
We've enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Been all right.
Some episodes here and there. And
yeah.
Some recordings, some events, maybe some friends.
Alex has taken over, which is great.
Yeah,
She's going to be continuing it on. So
yeah.
We're taking a step back and
yeah.
giving it a new lease of life.
Yeah, we're actually presenting The Late Late Show.
That's where you lost me. Sorry, that's where you lost me.
April Fools.
April Fools.
I knew you were going to do something.
Yeah.
I knew, because I had it typed in the episode plan. April
Fools.
I saw
it in the plan. I was like, okay, pink on the spot.
I was like, Connor's going to improvise here. Guys, no.
Jesus.
No despair.
Nothing.
We are here.
We're here.
It is, though, kind of the end of this section of the Eurovision season where...
Thank God.
Connor and I just... like I don't even know what you'd say. Hang about and chat about everything as it's dropping or sometimes weeks after it drops. You know, mm-hmm. we've got busy lives. But that does mean it is the beginning of our quick fire series. Connor, are you excited about that?
I am excited. I'm excited to rehash over some of the songs this year, particularly the ones that were so early in the season to be released, you know, national finals and stuff. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how our opinions developed. Have they changed? Are we still fighting for certain songs? I see you, Croatia, out there. You know, so we'll see what happens. But it's also as well, it's great to hear the listeners' opinions on the songs and get you guys involved finally. And yeah, I can't wait for them to start very, very soon. So keep an eye on our socials for that.
I absolutely love them. I love getting everybody's points. I love the shade some people throw. I love the enthusiasm other people share.
Some people don't hold back. Like they go full on with the criticism.
Proper
which is fair.
We love armchair it. Judges.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
me too.
Yeah.
Love that for you guys.
You know, the Irish, they're always so, so upfront with things. You know,
yes.
no beating and around the bush.
I also love that at that stage of the year, it's like we've had the songs for at least a couple of weeks. We have a running order to go off. We're starting to see pre-parties maybe. We don't have the rehearsals yet, which I think that's only fair because the rehearsals can, you know, just totally further skew your view.
But we won't have them at all this year as well. The less access for press. So we'll be going in with even more unknowns this year, which is exciting.
Of course, yeah. So guys, make sure you get involved, as Connor said. Our Instagram is the main spot. The boxes will be up very, very soon. And yes, make sure that you get in touch with your ratings out of 10, along with your comment. And you can also send us an email. Louise B, great listener of the pod, very kindly.
I thought you were listening to your email for a second.
What's that?
I thought you were saying your email for a second, the way you were like, you can send us an email, Louise B. I was like, what? Who's Louise B?
Where's the B?
Sorry.
No, Louise B, Louise Byrne, one of our avid listeners, a great friend of the pod, sent over an email yesterday with her ratings as she is not on Insta. Which is very fair. So
thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Louise. You're all very welcome to do the same. By the way, I thought Louise was very tasteful in a lot of her.
I agree. So I did have a look.
Yeah. And some good comps. I also like that her children were involved.
Of course, as they should be. As we've established on this podcast, like, you know, it's
raise the children right.
It's a family affair. So
yeah. Euro fans, isn't it? Mini Euro fans. But yeah, today we will very shortly get stuck into probably definitely the final batch of entries we'd like to talk about for Eurovision 2025. Czechia, Austria, Georgia, Cyprus and France, a very mixed bag. But Connor, we do have a Buy Me a Coffee to shout out. Shout out to Tom Rice / Lieb, which I do believe is Declan, great pal of the pod. And Declan, haven't chatted to you in ages. Hope you're well. Don't be a stranger. And hopefully see you on a night out maybe soon.
Fingers crossed.
Thanks so much for your support. 10 whole coffees from
10?
Declan.
Wow, thank you, Declan.
Legend of the highest order. So appreciated, especially at this time of year when we need more sleep, etc. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And if you guys would like to support us on Buy Me a Coffee for everything we do, we'd really appreciate it. You can go to buymeacoffee.com/Eurovision. You can also find the link in all of our bios, in all of our socials. You know the socials by now. We're on Instagram, X, TikTok, YouTube, etc. You can find us pretty much in every corner of the internet now. Connor, should we get started?
We shall get started, Lou. Where are we heading first? What country?
We're off to an old favourite, I would say, on the Eurovision podcast. I'm actually very... We haven't talked about this at all.
No.
So I'm very curious how this is going to go. Always the referenced one from 2023, of course, of Vesna. We are heading to Prague, to Czechia. And I'm sorry for my ignorance. I'm actually not certain on how to pronounce this artist's name.
That's why I threw it back to you there. That little
Adonis. Well, there's an X there. But
Dunks.
His name is Adam. Adam Pavlovchin.
Go on, Adam. Good man yourself.
Good dessert there.
Apparently that Adonks, or whatever you say.
Is it Adonks?
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing it. But apparently it comes from drag.
Oh,
allegedly.
Oh, cool. I thought it was Adonis. We had better find that out, actually.
Yeah.
But yes, Czechia has selected this person anyway, and they're going to represent the country at the Eurovision Song Contest 2025 with the entry Kiss Kiss Goodbye. Eurovision. Okay, so Czechia, kind of an interesting country in the contest. They're always a little bit of an underdog, generally, I would say. Struggle a little bit more, hit and miss with some of their qualifications. Much more successful in recent years, I would say, since we had Miklós Josef from then on. They kind of departed from their previous way of selecting. They used to have that national selection, and shout out to Robin James from the Eurotrip. They used to have a nice involvement over there, which was always nice to see. But they've kind of moved away from that national selection now, which I don't feel had fully gotten its feet off the ground yet. There was still a lot of work to be done. They've opted for an internal selection, which had a lot of stages, didn't it, Connor? An international jury and kind of a...
Quantitative research. I love this, yeah, in the notes.
Like a very large survey group as well as then a focus group. So
it kind of harps back to, remember last episode you were talking about, was it Switzerland, and saying that there was like a focus group. These are popping up more and
surveys,
more within,
yeah. How do I get these surveys?
Yeah,
someone like, send them my way.
It's like a Amarok, you know, the panel thing in Ireland, you know, they're always sending me surveys. Like, I'd love like a euro. You can do them for like, if you do enough, you can build up credit and you win like a one for all voucher. I don't have any time to be doing that.
I feel
that
like it's a bit of a cult. I feel like surveys. I get sucked in, yeah.
Really?
And addicted, and then I get not.
They ask you like everything. It's like from politics to, you think the road should be widened. You know, it's random shit. But
I feel like I'm my father's daughter. I've been like weaned off that, like literally if someone called at the door, my dad would be like, we don't do business at the door, and he'd just close it. I feel like I'm like afraid of that stuff. Like someone could like genuinely offer me a winning lotto ticket and I'd be like, oh, I don't gamble. Like,
the best thing, the best thing to do with a politician, if they call to the door, say, oh yeah, you're already my vote, and then they go away because they have no interest
my
in
mom
you.
And dad aren't home right now, even though I'm nearly 30.
Or if like a Sky or Virgin like broadband person comes, be like, oh, I recently switched to you already, and then they'll know, so then they leave you alone. Because the minute you are with them, or like you have them, they don't care. They just discard you and walk away.
They're fickle enough, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's
you know, a good sign that they were talking about broadband. But
hold on, I was going to mention about the broadband in this area. You know, only Virgin Media does this area for broadband. Is that not ridiculous?
Do they?
Apparently. We can only get Virgin on my road. They're shocking.
They're brutal. Sorry, the amount of outages I've had recently. I keep texting Lou. I was like, is your Wi-Fi gone?
Mm-hmm.
And it was literally gone for like 3 days, or 3 weeks ago. For some random reason. And it was on a Sunday. No customer service on a Sunday. Like, broadband goes down on a Sunday.
We got a podcast to run here. There's a hospital up the road, guys. Come on.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Come on. We're such dubs.
There's some places in Ireland that don't even have Wi-Fi.
There was places like in Ireland that didn't have power for like 3 weeks after that storm. And we're like, where's our Wi-Fi? Yeah. Listen, we acknowledge
Well, there goes
it.
The Virgin sponsorship anyway.
We acknowledge it. Okay. So by all accounts anyway, this artist seems to be like very like on his way to stardom, a bit of a star in not only Czechia, but also in Slovakia. Having won the version of Idol there in 2021. Yeah, well, let's talk about the song, I suppose. Kiss Kiss Goodbye. Why don't you kick us off, Connor?
Kiss Kiss Goodbye. Yeah, I felt there was a lot of hype in the build-up to the release of this song from the Czech team, really. From my understanding, you know, they were very happy with their selection. Obviously, a big move away from ESCZ to an internal selection. And usually when we see that from a broadcaster, either A, things are going really, really wrong. It wasn't the case with Czechia. Or either B, they have a big person and a big song and they're like, yeah, let's just go with it. So that's obviously what they felt in this situation. I do believe that they're switching the Czech channel this year. They've gone onto the smaller channel and now they're back onto the main station, which is obviously good for Czech because they're very much a year by year basis on how they're doing in the contest.
Yeah.
And, you know, the budget's very, very small. So they clearly have a lot of faith in this, particularly, you know, based on last year not qualifying. A lot of people said that, you know, not qualifying could have been the death of Czechia in Eurovision for the moment. So it's good to see that they're back and they're back with a fighting chance. And
they were put on a pedestal, some might say.
Oh, Jesus. Mm. Good Lord. Anyway, like Kiss Kiss Goodbye. It's good. It's all right. It wouldn't be a big fave of mine. I do skip it on the playlist, unfortunately. I'm not gripped by it. It's all right. The music video is very, very good. It's probably one of the best music videos of the year. Like, the standard's great. I love the last 30 seconds of, you know, going from boy to man and in this dream-like sequence. This is really, really cool visually. So I'd love to see them replicate that on the stage. Bit of a random dance break in the middle of the song. Not a fan of that. Bit random. But look, every song has a dance break nowadays, which is fair enough. But yeah.
I hope there'll be no one throwing themselves on the floor. Remember, was it last year I had an issue with this? Get off the bleeding floor. It's dirty down there. People's shoes have been on it.
Not a fan of the dance floor breaks then.
When they're valid, you know where it works great is Norway. I love that dance break. And then he goes back and sings after.
I feel like that dance break is actually very weak. Like, he could do more. He's just kind of shrugging his shoulders a bit.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just like, kiss, kiss, goodbye. Dun, 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 dun. You know
what I mean? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, whoa. Okay.
Where's Gustav when you need him? Like, it's just very random. I don't know. I don't know what the thinking of was. And even when you're watching the music video, I saw a lot of people being like, oh, I get it when I watch it. I actually further don't get it as I'm watching. I'm like, where is the
someone said
where's the process in it?
Someone said he won a competition to go 100 years forward in time, but he changed it to go 23 years back in time to when his father left him or something. I was trying to work out what this was about.
Just very, you're so not going to get that across in a 3-minute performance.
They're saying it's meant to be like to do with the father leaving, I don't know, the household, the family, whatever.
But why does he randomly break out and dance then?
I have no idea. No
well,
clue.
Adam Pavlova, Pavlovchin, very good.
Pavlovchin.
Yeah, look, it's not making waves for me now. I thought this was very hyped going into it. When I watched it, I was a bit disappointed, to be honest. But yeah, it's all right. And it's good for Czechia. I think they will qualify with this. His vocal ability, I think, is good.
Pulling up that, semi too.
Yeah, I would think so.
What's his running order? He's between Denmark and Luxembourg in the second half. Yeah. I mean, we're very low on males in that semi.
Mm-hmm. It's our semi,
so
isn't it?
If that's a factor, yeah. If that's a factor in that, like, there's just not many other men to read for it, then yeah. It's going to be so interesting whether like gender plays a role or not this year. This will like really answer a lot of our burning questions.
Yeah. What do you make of it? I'm not sensing love.
No, I don't like this at all. I really wanted to. Like, I always root for Czechia. They're a smaller nation. I've really enjoyed their place in the contest in various years, you know, obviously not just the Vesna year. But I was hopeful for this and I agree with you. There was a lot of hype. I'm a bit sick of hype. I feel like one year I'm going to just have to tune out. Like, it's so hard because of what we do. And I do love Eurovision. I'm nosy. I like being in the know. But at the same time, hype is just an annoying thing. Like, just let things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess people were excited, which is also fair enough. Yeah, a lot of hype for this. The acoustic version in Malta was like, I suppose, a nice taster at the time for what was to come. Not a huge amount different from the final. Well, I suppose he was at the piano, it was more acoustic, but then he went into the dramatic boom, 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 like the more orchestral instrumentation. The song just does nothing for me. I don't enjoy the tempo of it. Like, I have no issue with a ballad or a mid-tempo song, but this for me just goes nowhere. And then I find the dance break a bit disingenuous. For me, it feels quite shoehorned in. Now, I am very happy to have egg on my face in May. Like, I'm very happy to be proven wrong if they produce a package around the song where the dance break makes sense. I'll hold my hands up and say, fair enough, fair play. But at the moment, I'm skipping this all the time when it comes up on the playlist. And I'm disappointed because I do like his voice, but I don't think this is the strongest offering he could have brought to Eurovision. But like, look, who am I to talk? I'm sure there's people out there who do really enjoy this at the same time. And it could get a good result for Czechia, which is ultimately what I hope they get, because I agree what you were saying earlier. Like, it would be such a shame, given, you know, their participation is always up in the air a bit. It would be such a shame to lose them with a non-qualification or a bad result. I think I do see this qualifying, even though personally I'm not, like, I'd have to really look at semi two to work out my top 10. I think it would probably sneak in. It'd be at the end of my top 10, but that's more a case of there's some songs I dislike more in that semi. I'm personally a little bit disappointed on this one, but if he can, I don't know, if he can pull it off live, fair juice, maybe a jury will enjoy it. I think Vesna was better, personally.
Take a shot for every time Lou says Vesna.
Sessa pasiva.
Fucking 2 years later, still can't escape it. Oh my God.
The brand, Connor. Any final thoughts?
Good luck.
Good luck.
I love Pavlova, so.
It's a song. Next one. Next song is from Austria. We're not going too far away at all. If you were going interrailing, you'd hop on a train from Prague over to Vienna in no time at all. Very
did you go interrailing?
Nice borders. Pardon?
Did you go interrailing?
I did, right before I met you. Summer 2019. I went with my friend Sarah.
Oh.
Yeah, we went to Amsterdam, Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Salzburg, Budapest, Ljubljana, Lake Bled. And then we stopped in like three or four places in Croatia. Deadly. Really enjoyed it. We should go interrailing.
But can it be like a luxurious?
Yeah.
We should invite
the Euro trip to go interrailing with us, and we can be on a Euro trip with the Euro trip.
Love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Share content. Rob Lily Jones, watch your inbox. No, listen, both on the Danube River, I believe, Vienna and Prague. Don't know why.
Once
this
it's like
a
nice hotels,
lesson.
I can't be dealing with hostels and shitty trains. I'm just past that in my old age.
I was on like economy, I think, like for all trains, they were all grand. It's kind of like, what would you say, Netherlands, Germany, like all those countries, like the trains are class, Austria, class trains. And then the one from Budapest to Slovenia, I would say, had more character to it, but it was still a nice train.
That worries me now. When people say character, that often
it just
means
wasn't
like,
as nice a train.
It's like Turin 2022, it had character.
Turin 2022 was a villain. That's what character it was. The Huntsman was a hero. Anyways, I digress. Guys, let us know if you went interrailing, what you thought. I feel like that's a real Euro fan thing to do. I'm actually genuinely curious who went interrailing. I want to know about it. Anywho, Austria, of course, a big one this year, Connor, right?
Yeah, a lot of hype behind Austria, speaking of hype. And they have gone with an internal selection. It is JJ singing the song Wasted Love. Eurovision. Waste of Love by JJ, Austria's Eurovision entry and a potential winner in a lot of people's eyes. We will have to wait and see. This is a fusion of pop and classical singing, similar enough to Nemo last year with a bit of popper, as they say. A very unique voice, JJ is. Funny enough, he was on The Voice UK the same season as our very own Brooke Scullion way back when. So an interesting link
we'll have
there.
To ask him about that.
Yeah, and see if they their paths crossed while they were on the show together. But again, yeah, an internal selection once again by ORF, the Austrian broadcaster, something that they've been going down that route for a while. The process involved multiple stages, similar enough to the to Czechia earlier. An artist recruitment, scout, like a football club scouting out the players. Artist recruitment, songwriting camps, open calls, evaluation with OJE Austria, Austria as well. So a lot of internal selections is kind of just, you know, picking artists. This seems very in-depth and, you know, very much, you know, looking at everything with a microscope, which is great to see. And it's obviously working for Austria there. They've had some bangers over the last few years. And he was announced as the representative back at the end of January, with the song being released at the start of March. Wasted Love is that song. And a big team behind it when you look at it. You know, Sergio Hayen is the creative director for this. Of course, Ireland's creative director from last year. Taya from Taya and Selena is also a songwriter on Wasted Love. She, of course, was one of the writers and singers with Who the Hell is Edgar back in 2023. And yeah, that's pretty much it, Lou. The song itself, then, Wasted Love, are you in love with it, or are you wasting your love on something else?
So I have the sore back side again because I'm feeling a bit fancy. Okay, so like Alex often talks about this, and I think it's very true. Your initial reaction is very important as a listener and as a consumer of, you know, content, a video, whatever. My initial reaction was, this is very strong. This is very striking. I think a jury will like this. I hope the vocals are great. Is this very reminiscent of Nemo, even though it's not at all the same song? Like, Nemo was rapping, JJ is not doing that. But it does have that blend of genre that happens and the kind of wow moment. I think it was a great team behind this and they've produced something really, really incredible. But it felt a little bit bassy to me. I sort of felt, why did you enter that this year when Switzerland are hosting, having won with a song that it's going to be compared to, naturally enough? Then the other side of me is like, but there's no rules around genres. Like, you can have a dance pop song win one year and a dance pop song win another year. And, like, you know, Nemo and Switzerland do not have to own that brand. So that's I probably digress from that point a little bit. However, the longer I've sat with the song, I was even listening to it on the way over to you, Connor. And the last 30 seconds does really build excitement in me. And it does have huge potential for a moment, and we need a moment in a Eurovision winning entry. We all know this. So I think I'm going to be waiting in eager anticipation for the staging. And I know that's sometimes feels like a cop-out thing to say, but I think I have to reserve my final judgment on what I think of the entire entry until we see it played out on stage. I mean, look, no doubt with Sergio involved, it's going to be excellent. Austria in general have been very, very good in the last decade. These songwriting clamps are clearly working for these Central European countries. Great as well in our recent episode with Michael Keeley that he kind of acknowledges their success. They seem to be almost the way forward for a lot of countries to create something great. Speaking of Taya and JJ, who you mentioned both of them there, working together as songwriters. And this is probably like the third time I've shouted at the Euro trip, but it just so happens. I was listening to one of their recent episodes where Rob spoke with JJ, and they spoke a lot about Taya. And it's actually really worth a listen. I felt really endeared towards JJ after listening to it. You can tell he's a huge fan of the contest. He's got lots of like nice contacts within the Eurovision world. He really respects the contest. So I think, you know, while this at the moment probably wouldn't be the entry I would like to see win, the country I would like to see win, I would have like a good handful of countries up above it personally. I would also be very happy for Austria to take home another win. And I do think it would be deserved with this song, just not for me personally. But there we go, Connor. Let's see. I'm dying to know what you think.
Yeah, I think what you said about your first initial reaction is really, really important. And I really loved this song until it got to the opera bits.
Okay.
I was hooked and I was like, oh, this is really cool. I loved the music video and the build up. And then, I was, oh no, you've lost me. You've lost me, sorry. And I usually love a bit of opera in Eurovision. Like I loved Estonia in 2018, Romania back in 2013 as well. Mm. So I love that kind of popper opera elements that we've seen in Eurovision over the last number of years. So I don't know why, I just maybe because I loved the initial build up when he was just singing, not normally, but you know, just
la 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 la,
yeah,
la,
like that was beautiful.
It's a nice melody, yeah.
And then the minute the opera came in, I was like, oh, I didn't think you needed to take it up that high,
okay,
you know, to get that impact. Because I think if he just sang it, not normally, but just didn't include the opera bits, I think it actually would be a worthy winner ultimately. I think, but yeah, I just can't connect to it once the opera kicks in. Not
what do you
for
think
me.
The kind of EDM remix then.
I was gonna say that last like 30 seconds is like a moment, particularly in that music video when he's like, it's like fifth dimension, nearly, you know, falling through the sky into the opera house or whatever, wherever he is. Like, it is a moment, and you can just tell with Sergio being behind this staging, that is going to be iconic, and that is what could push it to be a potential winner, because I think this will eat up the jury,
yeah,
no matter what we say, you know, ultimately. But I think the televote is where it's going to play a key role. But just, we keep saying it this year because it is such a loud year. I think a song like this that isn't loud or fun could just, you know, be solid sevens across the board or eight.
Yeah.
And then it ultimately wins, you know, where everything and all the other votes with all the fun songs getting split, you know, Erica's getting some and, you know, blah, 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 getting some, Sweden getting some. So it's just one to watch. I think this could be a winner this year. Not my personal winner, but I can see a pathway for it winning. It's just, for me, it's not as accessible as Nemo's opera last year. And I get your point completely about, is it too soon afterwards? Not that there is a rule. Will people care ultimately? Is it just because of us as hardcore fans thinking into it that much? But I think if they stage this as well as we think it's going to be staged, I can see us potentially being in Vienna next year. Though, personally, like not for
I'd
me.
I prefer Salzburg. We could all go on the Sound of Music tour.
Well, I just hope it is fucking a good show, unlike 2015, which is probably the worst Eurovision in my eyes.
We're building bridges.
And she's flying and these balls
are
hanging.
I love that.
No,
it's very calm.
So shite.
And all the girls.
No, but all the songs are so, like, the stage, like, was horrendous. This big arc yoke. We didn't qualify and it was just, oh God.
You know what? And Molly Sterling
hosts,
was robbed.
Those hosts were as stale as beaten bread that's been left out for 3 weeks. Like, they gave us nothing. Gave us
Go
nothing.
Girl, gave us nothing.
Literally gave us nothing. It was horrendous.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a fan of Austria.
I mean,
no.
They feel like a safe broadcaster in a safe country. Like, you know,
but like,
we'd be playing it safe, staying
in that
region.
And why is it every time we have an anniversary, we're potentially heading back to Austria? Like, 2015 was what, the 60th anniversary of Eurovision.
Yeah.
Next year will be the 70th. So if we're in Austria for that, like, why are we always going back for the big anniversaries? It's so random.
I don't know. I think it's important to say as well, because we're not as gone on this, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there who love this, and I do understand why. I can reconcile with that for sure. I'm sure, like, I've come out with stuff this season that people are like, why does she love that? You know,
as well, like, it's second in the odds and it's first in the community rankings on the scoreboard app. So clearly people are loving this. And I gotta admit, I actually put on a bet for this to win before it was released because of all the hype behind it. So I could be, you know, egg on my face in May too. So it just goes back to our taste, you know.
How do you think this will do in the quickfire ratings out of interest?
I think
how
be up there.
I don't think people are going to mark it down, so I think it's going to pull it up.
Yeah, I don't think people are...
It might get a 5 off people at the least.
I think it depends if people approach the quickfires. They either approach it like it's their personal rankings, or they're going to try and like score it how well it will actually
do. I noticed that last year people would be like, 10 for this one, 1 for this one. Like, guys, come on.
So it's hard to know how people will take the quickfires, but that's what makes them so juicy and exciting. But I definitely think it'd be at least top 5 in our overall rankings when we look at it. So just... see where it ends up ultimately.
Shin a whale. Well, we've taken a trip to Czechia and Austria. Let's take a trip back to ERA for Jan Gupel and Omaid for Kjolan Groll.
Eurovision.
Gia Yeave Gachtina August Fulcha Arash to Kyolong Raw. Welcome back to Kyolong Raw, the Irish language segment of the Eurovision podcast, where I spread the joy and grow the love for Gaeilge, our national language, Irish. And Connor is along on this journey with me as always. Conas the thought to you, Connor.
Oh my god, on a what, August 2 fain?
Yeah, Tom Gabra, to she on Green Ver, August Tomeg, Silgamorelesh, Eurofisha, on Valin Shah.
Come on.
Looking forward to it all. Right, and what's your rake?
Tommy Ray.
Dark Lore. Bras on Shachtin Shah, na. Ardu Mar Yunishka.
Say that again, Ardu. Ardu.
Mar.
Mar.
Yunishka.
Yunishka. Not water related, no. Not Ishka.
Take Ishka out of it, no. Water. I'm going to give you a clue.
Mar is like
jacker.
But, isn't it?
Yeah. Like,
okay, so something yeah. But something.
Yeah, it could also be like.
Oh, God. Give me a hint now for this one. This
okay,
card.
So Imalioclia. In Dublin.
Yeah.
To Park Ain.
Yeah.
Park Moor.
Mm-hmm.
Darvanum. Park on Yunishka.
Phoenix. Rise like a phoenix.
Hey.
Okay.
Ardu Mar Yunishka. Ian Tuck. I knew that would be a bit jackery, yeah. But you did very well. You did very well. And of course, I had to mention Austria's recent Buator.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say recent anymore. 2014.
2014, girl. 11 years ago now at this rate. We're getting old.
I'm getting old. All right. Well. That's it for today. All right. So we're continuing on our journey today and we are heading over to Georgia to talk about their 2025 entry. This year, Georgia has entered the singer Mariam Shengelia performing the song Freedom. Eurovision. The last country out the gate, really, they kept us hanging on. Well, actually, they were before France, but at least we knew something about France. We knew nothing about Georgia. First off, this woman is 22.
Wow.
I couldn't have guessed her age, genuinely. I could have said she was anywhere between such a maturity about her. I don't know. That just blew my mind. She's younger than you, and you're a little youngling. Mental. This is mental. But anyway, Georgia has selected their entry. There is a song. What do you think?
Yeah, last song to be revealed pretty much and pretty much it preempting where they'll be on the scoreboard. They won't even be on a scoreboard because we won't even see them in the final in May. Georgia, should have saved your money. What is this? I don't get the song. It's boring. It has no hook. She sings it well. She's a good singer, but yeah. Not for me. I think I listened to it once. I think I actually gave up listening to it halfway through. So I've listened to three quarters of the song and said no. And yeah. Georgia, thanks for...
No Georgia on your mind?
No. Get a participation award. You know, they're here. They're propping up the numbers, 37. But yeah. Should have saved your money. Yeah, that's all I gotta say. Literally, I actually just have no love for this song whatsoever. It's just very dated, very boring, very yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to mop up a bit, but what I'll say is, Georgia in terms of like our relationship as countries, you know, on the continent or whatever. Georgia is a country I would definitely say Irish people know the least about. We have the least connection with. There's a lot of unrest in Georgia at the minute. Like, they're not in a great geopolitical situation. And like, I imagine, you know, there's hard times for people there. So I'm always kind of thinking of them in that sense when I see things in the news. Their Eurovision participation, I think, is very interesting in terms of what they choose to send and how they go about it. I mean, we know there's kind of, it's a tiny country. They get very few submissions. It would be great for there to someday be more transparency around how they select entries, because there was a lot of question marks this year about another artist who was supposedly lined up and then at the last minute discarded. But this is all hearsay, so who really knows? Just taking this for what it is anyway, at face value. On the one hand, part of me feels like, you know what? Fair play to them. Kind of leaning into their culture, their sound. Like, this, in fairness, does feel really Georgian. Like, when you watch the video, they've got the solid red dress. They always do that at Junior Eurovision. They have that kind of traditional dress of the dancers in the background. That feels very Georgian to me, just from my very limited knowledge of the country. It really reminds me of their Junior Eurovision entries, and that makes sense. They actually, like, always do stellar with the juries in junior. But they don't have juries to save them here, ultimately, in this semi. And Georgia, along with ourselves, Malta, Montenegro, those kinds of small nations really struggle in the televote. I don't see any way this is coming out of semi two, especially when it has to follow Mariana Conte from Malta, is then followed by France, Mama, with Luan, and ultimately then Hallucination as well from Denmark. It's going to be upbeat, boppy, eye-catching in some way. Like, they gave her an awful running order. But then I'm kind of like if you look at the rest of semi, like, it wouldn't have been great for her probably in most spots. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm disappointed for Georgia as a Eurovision nation. You know, I don't really connect with the song. I'd like to, but it isn't for me. But I've no doubt it'll be performed, you know, really well. And I don't know. Hopefully it resonates with the people of Georgia. But if it does or doesn't, I don't know. I won't be voting for this, unfortunately, in semi-final two. But I wish them all the best.
I think you're like the majority there. Don't see who votes for this. Not for us.
So we've been talking a lot about semi-two countries. Let's move along. We're actually going to flip back for a moment to semi-one. And actually, we're looking at the closer of semi-one. Who is it, Connor?
It is Cyprus. And they have eternally selected Theo Evan. Now, funny enough, he was the first artist to be announced way back in September of 2024 for the 2025 contest. And funny enough, he was one of the last to release this year. So they've really, really taken the whole season to prepare us with this song. And instead of them wanting us to talk about it, they're trying to make us shh. Eurovision. And that is performed by Theo Evan. The Cypriot broadcaster did an internal selection for this in July of 2024. So they got to work very, very quickly. And they wanted to choose an artist based in Cyprus. The last few years, they've had Aussies representing them, which is funny. In 2024, they had Celia Capsis with Liar, which did very, very well for them, ultimately. But they wanted to get someone based in Cyprus this time. Focus group comprising of music professionals and Eurovision experts were formed to evaluate potential candidates. And by late August 2024, Theo Evan was selected as the representative. The official announcement made in September. So a long, long time sitting on this one. We finally have the song. Shh. Lou, what are you making of Shh?
Okay, I'm actually going to keep this really short and sweet. I hate the verses.
Oh, wow.
I hate them, but I love the chorus. So I'm really torn. The first time I heard this, though, genuinely, I was like, this is a car crash. Like, this is like a disaster. Like, what are they doing? This is Sandstorm by Darude. Like, what is happening, lads? Like, whoop, 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 whoop. Like, oh my God, slow down, Cyprus. What is happening? But then I sat with it for a few listens and I was like, you know what? This chorus slaps. I actually love this chorus. This would get me going on a night out. I go for a run to this song, like the gym, like this is like ideal. This is like, to be honest, I actually think we've been missing a little bit of the sound. It's Eurodance, but it's more trance in terms of its sound. And I actually am really glad to have a little taster of that back because it's just a tiny bit of variety. We have so much EDM this year, but at least this is kind of leaning into a little different subsection of EDM or crossover, whatever you want to say. The video is quite cool. I enjoyed that. It reminded me of the postcards in 2019, you know, with all the shapes and kind of like the desert feel or whatever. So that was interesting. And Sergio staging.
Yeah.
Again, right? Yeah. So something must be planned. My one big gripe is it's like the boy who cried wolf. Like, can artists please stop going to the media and saying we're doing something on stage that's never been done before? Because then you might let us down. Whereas if you just stay quiet, if you just hush and say, shh, then, and you know, follow your own song, then we might be like, whoa, so floored in the week of Eurovision. And I would actually much prefer that. I want an Eleni Ferreira. I want to be like, yeah, bit of a bop, I'd stream it. To then being like, oh my God, Hairography, let's win. You know what I'm saying? So there's massive potential here. And also, we have to recognize that the producers have put this last in the semi-final. So there must be something that the producers know about this entry that is maybe exciting or just a great show closer that we don't yet know about.
The potential you said there, what is the potential in your eyes, do you think?
Whatever bloody staging Theo's on about. But like, we'd have to ask Sergio, or like, give him a message there on the Insta.
In the DMs.
Sergio, tell us. I've no idea, Connor. I mean, I hope it's something that elevates the song. What's cool about this as well is it sounds like it's finished around like 2:20 and then it comes back up again. So are we going to have that like Havala Nay Nay, like, oh, the song stopped. Havala Nay Nay.
I hope not.
Like, is it going to be that, or like, is he going to come off the stage in that like vroom vroom moment, or what's it going to be? I don't know. But at least I'm left wondering, and at least I'm left
curious.
What do you think?
Yeah, I struggled to connect with the song initially, but I'm similar to you. I've kind of grown to like it. I'm not necessarily streaming it, but if it comes on a recap, if I'm watching a new show, I'm not kind of skipping or disconnecting with it. I'm just more so intrigued to see staging with this. Like, Sergio, I feel, isn't going to get involved with something he doesn't feel he could, you know, deliver or give us something really special. So I'm intrigued by that. I think it has that Greek Cypriot feel to it, which is so key for a country. I love when you tune in and you can kind of guess the country before you see the name of the country. Like, I feel like this is a Cypriot entry by just listening to it and getting those vibes, particularly with the music video. Like you said, it kind of overlaps a bit with Belgium in my eyes, but it's like you said, we're getting a different side to the EDM style with this track, which is good to see. But I think this could be, you know, something you hear at like a techno club very easily. Which is cool and more representative of our music scene and as a whole nowadays, which I think is key. It's something that, you know, Eurovision needs to continue doing as, you know, the music industry grows and develops into, you know, what we see today, whether you agree or disagree with that. But yeah, it's like the songwriting team behind this is so interesting though. When you look at it, it's like Dimitrios Kotropoulos, he's had like Cyprus last year, Greece 2021, Moldova. Elsie Bay, of course, from Norway is on this track too.
The Norwegians are everywhere.
They're taking over, lads. They really are. And we have two songwriters as well who wrote The Code last year. So a winner on the track too with Nylan, as he's better known, and Linda Dale. Would I love that name, Linda? Linda Dale. Very, very, sounds fake nearly, Linda Dale. But
Linda Martin's alter ego.
Yeah, Linda Dale. So, look, they have a real strong team, as you said. I completely agree with you, though. Shut up on social media. Shut up on everything. Just keep everything quiet. Surprise us.
Or build the hype last minute, but not like this early
I don't
on.
Even need, like, every day there seems to be something coming out from the Cyprus camp of and something that we've never before seen camera angles. Just shush and surprise us. Because like it's similar to Checky earlier, like you're building up all this hype. Whatever way you deliver it or whatever way you do it, there's always going to be people who are expecting the world and they're not going to get the world. So it's better just to be like, yep, yeah, our song's Theo is great. We've Sergio. That's all you need to tell us. You don't need to be telling. Every country is now telling us what they're doing staging wise. Or we have this. We've surprises here. It's just
imagine last year. I mean, we didn't necessarily know what was to come, but imagine we were like, we're going to win. We're going to win.
Yeah, we're going to do something.
We're going to do staging never seen before, which Bambi was thanks to Sergio and the team. But like, if we were saying we're going to win, we're going to win, then the top 10 might have been kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
Whereas we were delighted with the sixth place.
But even when you think back to the day of the release of that clip, you know, the 30 second clip or whatever it was, like the hype, like Twitter blew up. Instagram
blew up. I'm so glad that wasn't leaked.
Exactly. But you mean like that was so, everyone was like, wow. And that's the minute you need the hype to start. There's no point in starting hype now because the majority of the world isn't thinking about Eurovision. And it's only us hardcore fans that are into it right now. So when you think about it then, that's the perfect key moment to start that hype. So that's what Cyprus should have done this year. They should have kept the staging, everything very, very quiet. And in that 30-second clip that's getting released, that's when you start the hype train. So I think they've kind of shot themselves in the foot this year by spilling all the details. Just shut up and keep the secrets quiet.
Also, can we just circle back to Sergio for a moment and just say how cool it is? We're sitting here on this podcast. When we started in late 2022, we'd never heard of this man. And now in less than a year after such an amazing result for our country, we are sat here constantly referencing back and saying, well, Sergio's staging it, so it's going to be good. Sergio's involved, so it's going to be great. Like, what a reputation to already have. Like, we've had the, you know, the Sacha Jean-Baptiste, like, we've had these people involved in the circle who are so well respected. Sergio, let us remind everyone, has had one Eurovision entry so far. He's tipped to have more, which are coming. He has had one. How incredible. Also, and I think we're the type of people that would appreciate this, given it, you know, interest in behind the scenes. I love that both creative teams and songwriters are getting more flowers in the last few years in Eurovision.
100%.
Because you can't, like, you know, the code, like Nemo was incredible, but behind Nemo was probably 50, however many other people who helped it to happen. So it's really important that, yeah, all of that is acknowledged.
And just back to Sergio, it's great to see that, like, we were the country to give him the break at Eurovision.
You better not forget that.
And a big thanks to Bambi as well for, you know, they sought him out and, you know, got him involved with Team Ireland, which is great to see. So
22 years old?
I believe he's younger than me. So I think he's 22, 23.
Maybe he's 23 this year, but he's 22 last year. Like, so, what a talent.
What a talent. And it's great to see him still in the Eurovision sphere as well, particularly with Junior Eurovision
booked
in Madrid last year as well. So he's definitely in it. And hopefully we get our pull up our pants and book him straight off the bat.
No dilly dally.
Like, I think that was a bit of a loose ball dropped there on our part. So hopefully we get him back now because our talent, he's our baby. He's ours. Get your hands off.
Don't forget
off.
Us.
Don't forget this small country on the side
we need
of Europe.
You so badly. Oh, well, we're coming along to the last one for this episode. It's been emotional, Connor. Actually, this was kind of like a funny one when this dropped because we had a surprise birthday, Connor. Birthday, Connor.
Birthday, Connor. Where is
birthday
he?
Connor. We had a surprise birthday party for Connor, and it so happened to coincide with the night of that French rugby match in the Stade de France. I think you all know where this is going, when Louane performed her song for the first time, and it was the first glimpse we got into the song, and she was kind of propelled around the arena, which was amazing. But anyway, Louane has entered Eurovision 2025 for France, Rods, with her song Maman. Je vais mieux, je sais où je vais. J'ai arrêté de compter les années. Et si j'ai voulu arrêter le temps, maintenant c'est moi qu'elle appelle maman. Maman, maman. Okay, so first of all, Connor, did you have like severe whiplash from like coming into a room of people surprising you and singing happy birthday to then being sat down to watch rugby, a group of Eurovision fans sat turning on the rugby match to watch this French girly propelled in the sky? How was that for you?
Yeah, it was traumatic. No, I'm joking. Very dramatic. No, it was trauma. Oh, trauma. I keep saying trauma. It was shocking, yeah, because I was working 8 to 4:30 and then was told to get out of the house
for
my aunt or something like that. And then I met my friend and he was acting shifty and then came back. And you know when you're like tired and like you're ready to like, you know, get a takeaway, chill in the pajamas, have a nice shower and chill. And I walked in and like, you're all in my kitchen. I'm just like, what are you doing in my house? And then the night just developed on from there, as you said. Yeah, we were watching rugby with the Eurovision fans. And yeah, then the reaction that we filmed like blew up on TikTok. It's like nearly 900,000 views. All these people commenting in French.
My favorite thing is that like pretty much all of us don't react.
No.
We just sit respectfully.
And they're all like, watching. Oh, thank you so much for reacting. It's like, we literally didn't say anything. We were all just kind of like looking at the TV and... You know, it's yeah, it was cool, I guess, but yeah, random, but yeah, that was certainly an experience that night, but one that I will cherish forever.
You don't.
But yeah, maman.
Luan is a very interesting performer. She sang the life out of that song. Like, wow, girl can sing. I mean, the jury are going to, I imagine, look favourably on this year. And I mean, look, I don't want to be a tinfoil hat girly or anything too much, but I think it's probably fair to say in a general sense that the jury do tend to have a bias toward France and classic French entries. Like, we saw Barbara Pravi doing very well with Voila, Slimane overall did well last year, and by all accounts he really fluffed that jury performance on the Friday, and he almost won the jury. Not quite Nebo pipped into it, but he did very, very well in it. So I see a world where this contends for big jury points. It's an emotional song. She sings it beautifully. I wish there was a little bit more of a chorus for me. I do enjoy the melody that is in there, but I need more than the mama, mama, mama. But then I suppose, you know, you could look on it as it's an emotional song and she's crying out for her mother. Beautiful, beautiful touch at the end. Her daughter singing the final mama. Very, very cute. Given Luan is a mother herself. This, again, we've talked about hype a lot in this episode. Like, this has been the episode where we've discussed hype, and it could also be that like we, Connor, are chatting about it with like more of a delayed perspective because these were a couple of weeks ago, but like this was hyped to the nines, and a lot of us, I remember, were having conversations where it was like, well, is only France left? Is France the winner? Like, is this going to be it? You know, is this the moment where we sit and we're like, oh yeah, that's winning? I didn't get that when we watched it. But I don't think it's completely out of contention for a high result. And to me, it feels like France building on their very strong powerhouse position in the contest. We mentioned this in the last episode, but it's really cool to mention that the automatic qualifiers this year are all singing in one of their own national languages. I don't know if there's ever been so much French in a modern edition of the contest with the Netherlands and Switzerland and so on. So that's cool. Yeah, I mean, let's see how it fares out of that Stade de France. That doesn't give us any indication, I think, of what we're going to see in Basel as well. So the jury is literally out on that. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, I think my jury is still out really on this song. I haven't given up on it yet, but I don't know if the visuals of the Stade de France put me off it, because obviously we know she's not going to be able to replicate any of that in Basel. And it's such an intimate song in a way, and I felt that the scale of it nearly didn't make it just genuine, but it was disingenuous, but it was a bit kind of like hard to connect with the song because of the scale of it, because she was actually hanging in bleeding air on a podium with the band around her.
Eurovision's
you know,
like, so extra, isn't it?
It is. It's like,
I think there was just a bunch of lads there at the match and they were like, why is there a woman up there?
Yeah. It's like,
get down.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
were they playing Scotland in that match?
I think so.
Get down.
Can't remember. What's this Eurovision? But yeah, I don't know. I think France loved to be a bit extra in recent years. So, you know, we saw that with Lazara, who, can I just say, I am obsessed with her on TikTok. She is so funny, like, reacting to all the songs, and, like, her reaction to Ichom is so funny. Like, honestly, check it out, guys, if you haven't. But she's iconic. And she explained she didn't put up the finger to us in 23. She was doing a signal that she was doing for years. So she apologized, thinking, which is iconic. So she's back in my good books now. But yeah, I don't know. I think the year maybe to go a bit more quieter of just like a really nice intimate performance with this might have done it more justice. I don't know if the scale, I can understand the big reveal for like French people, but I don't know if it did it justice in the end. But yeah, I still don't know how I feel on this song. So I can't wait to revisit it properly in the quickfires just to really solidify my thoughts on it. I don't think it's a winner, but certainly I do think it's going to be top five and the top three in the jury even potentially. It's just that televote. I don't know if people connect with this.
I really agree with what you're saying there about the need for intimacy. That's such a good point, Connor, because if you think of Voila, Barbara Pravi, like their closest shot at winning in recent years. And honestly, like Maneskin were just so stellar that night. Like if Barbara Pravi was in this year, she'd win it outright. Like there'd be no question. And probably some other Eurovision years, she would have been with a really good chance. 2021 was just crazy competitive. But if we could get that style of staging with that really interesting camera work, they were able to replicate that French national final staging really well for Barbara Pravi when she went to Rotterdam. If we could have something like that, just as you said, more up close, more of a connection with Luan's emotions, because, oh my God, The vocal runs on this. And it's clearly, in fairness, this clearly comes from a very personal place, given she lost her parents so young and now she's a mother herself. I'll be interested how they get that bit at the end with the daughter. Mama, like, are they going to have a picture of her? Or because obviously you can't have a child on the stage. So it'd be cool to see how they do that.
How do you feel about next year? We know already that C'est vous qui décidez is coming back. So their national final is coming back, which is an interesting move because obviously the last few years they've gone internal with, you know, this year obviously Luan and we've had Iman, Lazara. So it's 2022, the last time the national final happened. Is that the right decision in your eyes, do you think? Considering they some would say they've been getting bigger names internally.
From a selfish point of view, I love the recent French national selection. So I'm like, yes, like I've got some great songs from my playlist. Particularly that first year, the year Barbara Pravi one. Oh my God, like that's actually a great little national selection. I highly recommend you guys go back and check out the French selection 2021. Some bangers. Alleluia. Oh, what was there? Oh, there was loads of good ones anyway. Oh, who was the guy I loved? Tutti. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. But yeah, it's a fair point, Connor, then in terms of like, yeah, the internals have been faring better. They have been getting bigger names and more jury bait. And it's very clever for these automatic qualifiers to send jury friendly songs when you only have to look at the semi-finals to see the potential effect of the televote only pull. I mean, if we get 20 bopping banging songs from the two semi-finals and then you only have France, Switzerland slowing it down, you know, it could be great news for them on the night. Out of interest, in terms of the two kind of female French ballady songs, I mean, which do you prefer, first of all, and which do you think will do better? Switzerland and France, this is just friendly.
Yeah, I think Switzerland, I think they're very different. Though they're both ballads, I think they're very different. I think Voyage is very slow, very, you know, intimate.
Less dramatic.
Like, Maman has that big moment in a ballad that you're used to. So I think though they're under the ballad umbrella, I think they are still chalk and cheese completely. But personally, I think I prefer the intimacy of Voyage. I find it more appealing on a playlist listening to Eurovision. Now, that could be completely different when it comes to visually in May on the Saturday night. excuse me. So yeah, at the moment I'm leaning towards Switzerland more so, but I don't know if that goes back to them, me not sure where I'm exactly standing with my mom just yet, but I do think just Voyage is more, in the year that is it being so noisy and chaotic, I think Voyage just stands out a bit better. I think Maman is still, it's still slower, but it still has maybe a bit too much of a dramatic moment for me personally. What about yourself?
So personally, I also prefer Switzerland for pretty much all of the reasons you've mentioned. Initially, I was like, oh, Switzerland is going to do better than this in the jury. Now I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe France will do better in the results. Which do you think will do better in the results?
France. I think this will be, Switzerland's going to be an OGR team.
Oh no. Who said that? ESC Tom said that.
Did he say
video.
That? Yeah, I think it will be. I think if they stay, I don't think it would be last now, but I definitely think it will be like a low down. Mm. Hopefully not. I would love to see Switzerland still get a solid result and not have that host country effect, you know, but I do worry a bit with this.
Oh my god, if Glasgow Meatholes listening to this, he'll get a rash hearing you bring up our team.
I love our joking as well, like, yeah. So nice. But yeah, that's my worry for Switzerland, but that's Switzerland anyway.
Yeah, so what an episode. We had Czechia, Austria, Georgia, Cyprus, France. We've covered quite a bit
right. And usually, you know, our last episode before we, you know, have a little break and dissect and, you know, go into our quick fires, usually it's kind of like cleaning up, the housekeeping, but it was actually a really stacked episode with a lot of interesting talking points, I felt, which was interesting for
who were the contenders to win this year's Eurovision?
It depends what route you're going down, because if you're thinking it's going to be a noisy person, you're thinking Sweden, you're thinking Finland, you're thinking anyone else I'm thinking of that I'm missing, you know, those are the two for me. And then if you're thinking it's a quieter year or a more traditional year, you're thinking Austria, of course, and then you've the big outlier, you know. Is it a wild card? Is it someone we're not even talking about that is going to show up and be a contender? I know we said it last year technically, but I do think this is genuinely one of the most open Eurovisions we've had, because you just don't know whether all the fun is going to be spit across all the songs that we're having, or if there's going to be one, you know, quiet song that shoots up, or is there going to be like one fun song that everyone sings, every single person votes for? So hard to know. I don't know what mood Europe is in. But if you'd
we
like
love
to,
that, don't
but
it, we?
But if you like to know, you can read Lou's the journal article .ie. Head over there and you can read Louise's fantastic article on all that.
No, thank you.
Yes, get that reading in now. What about yourself? Who? What are you feeling?
Barabada bastu bastu.
Do you think they can genuinely win?
I do.
Really?
I think they're going to smash the Televo just based off the general public reaction. But then I'm aware I'm in a bubble, I'm in a vacuum. Maybe it's like more of the Euro fan kind of like, oh, Sweden are selling something different, this is exciting. But locals are loving it. Like seeing the reaction of like other non-Eurovision fans and they're making of it is interesting. It's the jury where, you know, it's going to be telling. I'm going to be sitting there biting my fingers watching that jury come in for Sweden, but I don't think it's impossible for them. I feel like I've discounted Finland a bit, and I don't know, is it just because it came so early? Obviously Sergio's working with them and we saw like the staging was class, but it took too long to get going for me in UM.
Apparently they're reworking the whole staging. Obviously they can't have her now.
They can't propel her
on the microphone. So propel her.
No people flying anymore.
It's like they're fucking her from
get
one
down.
Side of the arena. The next.
Everybody get down. It's like when I'm like, get up off the floor. Eurovision are like, get
you're
off
down.
The ceiling. Like we need you in the
handle it. Then I'll learn
stand
from Loreen.
On the floor.
The sandwich maker couldn't hang.
We should get Emmy propelled in a rocket at the top of the stage.
Who says we're not already doing that? Who knows? Everyone's hanging this year, so
ooh,
you never know.
Everyone's hanging.
Never know.
We will be hanging.
Yeah.
After Basel, let me tell you. Right, well, this is exciting. We're wrapped up kind of officially on the season. But of course, guys, the quick fires. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. We've also had like so much stuff drop recently. So make sure you haven't missed any of that. Like
we've been busy.
The Michael Keeley chat, the Emmy and Larissa Tormey chat. Loads of stuff on the socials as well, on YouTube, all of that. So make sure you check it all out, guys.
Yeah, and we're into the next phase now of the season. We're going to be heading to the pre-parties, but we're heading to London anyway. That is the number one visit for us. So if you see us in London, come up and say hello to us and get involved with their content. But we'll have some exciting stuff coming up from that. We're also in the midst of planning our quickfire episode. So it'll be very, very soon after this episode drops that our boxes will be heading up on our Instagram. And if you want to be like Louise B and email us your quickfires all at once, head over to our email, airvisionpodcast@gmail.com, and you can do that straight off the bat. But yeah, like Lou said, we are literally packed full of content over the next few weeks as we enter the final weeks of Eurovision 2025, really, between the pre-parties and the show itself. And Basel 2025 will be here before we know it. The clocks have gone forward. The sun is out as we record. It's so nice to be recording in the sun for once, as opposed to late night darkness. But yeah, everywhere we are going to be busy. So make sure you're following us on Instagram at Eurovision Podcast, Twitter or X Eurovision Pod, TikTok Eurovision Podcast. Also subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, Eurovision Podcast. And if it's easier for you, head over to our Linktree. All the links and all the social channels are there if you need them there. So linktree.ee/Eurovision Podcast, I believe that is. And of course, if you would like to support us and buy me a coffee, you can visit us buymeacoffee.com/Eurovision and help us continue to grow this lovely podcast and this lovely community as well. But for myself and Lou, we will see you very soon for more Eurovision. All we got to say is
Slongafol.